As I was preparing to go from a sermon series into some topical lessons for a while, a couple of weeks ago I was listening to one of my favorite songwriters and artists, singers. You might be familiar with his work, James Taylor. Great singer, great songwriter, a great musician. And I came across this song that's on his greatest hits album, and it's on one other album that he wrote. And the title of the song is "There's Something in the Way She Moves." And now James is singing about, I believe, his wife or significant other at the time. And the words of the song go, "There's something in the way she moves, or looks my way, or calls my name, that seems to leave this troubled world behind. If I'm feeling down and blue or troubled by some foolish game, she always seems to make me change my mind." Then he goes on to the chorus, says, "I feel fine any time that she is around me now. And she's around me now almost all the time. And if I'm well, then you can tell that she has been with me now. And she's been with me now quite a long time. Every now and then, the things I lean on seem to lose their meaning. And I find myself careening into places where it should not let me go. She has the power to go where no one else can find me and silently remind me of the happiness and the good times that I know. It isn't what she's got to say or how she thinks or where she's been. To me, the words are nice just the way that they sound. I like to hear them best that way. Doesn't much matter what they mean. And when she says them mostly just to calm me down, and I feel fine any time that she's around me now. And she's around me almost all the time. And when I'm fine, you will know that she's been with me now. And she's been with me now quite a long time." I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs that James Taylor sings. And when I play that song, when I hook my iPod up to my car stereo and I'm driving around singing in my car, and I imagine a couple of things. I imagine one, that I can sing really good like James Taylor. And I imagine Vicky in the car there with me, and I'm singing that song to her, to a packed house of people, and she's on this stool with a spotlight, and I'm singing to her and to all these people and just talking about how much I love my wife and how awesome she is. But then it dawned on me. She knows I sing to her all the time, and it's embarrassing to both of us. Not so much me as her, but... And then it dawned on me that Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 talks about our God in just that very way. A man who can write such eloquent psalms as that about a woman who has affected his life so much that she changes the very essence of who he is. When other people encounter this guy, and we have all known people like that. We've all had people in our life that change who we are, that make us different, that make us better. You know, I imagine that on the days that Frank meets Connie for lunch, he goes back to work and people know that he has had lunch with his beautiful wife because he's in a better mood. He probably has a little bit more of a spring in his step, maybe a song on his lips because he's been in the presence of the one he loves. Amen. I imagine that there are times when even Bob can be a little bit more pleasant to be around because he's been around his Connie. I know she cheers my day up every time I see her. Always has a word of encouragement. Howard, on days that you get to spend an inordinate amount of time with Carol Ann, aren't those days just bright and sunny no matter what? Amen. The answer is yes. Yeah. We haven't covered that in the Secret Brothers handshake yet, but... But you know, we all know people like that. They just brighten our lives. They brighten our days. They change who we are. And a man can write a psalm about a woman like that. I wonder Could we write the very same psalm of our life about the God who loves us, the Savior who adores us, who saves us from all the iniquity of all the sin, of all the transgressions, of every bit of our life? Could we write the same psalm? You see, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says that, and we use, this was the finishing verse, if you remember, of our Fearless sermon series. And it talks about the effect when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know what the context of this is? These are men standing before the Sanhedrin. They're in front of the highest ruling power in the Jewish faith. And they're talking about matters of national, of spiritual security. I mean, they're breaking these guys down with prophecy, and they're talking about the Savior. They're talking about God and prophecy and Scripture in a way that was remarkable. And they were challenging the Sanhedrin on what they knew to be the truth. Now, the Sanhedrin, the ruling power, as we all know, they were dead wrong about Jesus. They could not have been any wronger about Jesus. And these guys were standing up to him. I mean, the Sanhedrin had the power, had the authority, had the jurisdiction to throw them out, to have them shunned from all that they had ever known religiously. And they stood up to him. And when these men saw the courage, when they saw the kind of people that they were, when they saw that they weren't fearful, when they saw that they were so well versed in Scripture, when they saw that they had such confidence and passion about what it was that they were talking about, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The question then becomes, can people tell that we have spent time with our Lord? When you see me and you know that I'm fine, when you know that I've got a smile on my face, do you leave me thinking, well, you know, that guy just, you know, what do you think? Do you think, oh, well, he's obviously been with his Lord. He's been with Jesus. You know, that's what the song says, you know, that you can tell that when I am well, that she's been with me. Is it an earthly relationship that affects us like that? Or is it a heavenly relationship? Is it a spiritual relationship with our God? Does God change who we are? Like so many people in our life changes who we are. Can people take note that we have been with Jesus? The question becomes, do we have a contagious courage? Do we have a courage that we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 13? You know, this is a passage. David is king. David is he's already defeated Goliath. He's already proven himself to be he's not king yet, but David is the leader of men. And it says in verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 25. David said to his men, now the context of this, who they're about to go fight is not important for the sermon, but just understand, these are the same guys that stood motionless, that stood frozen in front of Goliath and the army of the Philistines. These are the same men that would not dare to step out of line and to show themselves as children of the living God and fight the enemies of God. And David says, he said to his men, put on your swords. So they put on their swords. You know what he said? You know when David, the kind of faith, the kind of person that he was, he spent time with God. You know when he went to face Goliath, you know what he said? God will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine the same way he delivered me from the bear, the way he delivered me from the lion. You see, David had been with God in the jungle. He had been with God in the desert. He had been with God in the thick of the fight. And he knew exactly how God was going to deliver him. And that kind of courage, that kind of demeanor, that kind of life has the opportunity to rub off on other people. So now when David is standing before his men, he says, you know, we have a job to do for the Lord. We have a, 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 an enemy to face. Put on your swords. You know what they did? They took note that David had been with the Lord. And they put on their swords. I love what it says later. I have this not only highlighted, but also underlined. And David put on his. You see, because there is a desire of those who have been with the Lord to go back and to be with Him some more. They know that there's no place like being in the presence of God. And there's no more evidence of being in the presence of God. There's no more direct effect of being in His presence than when you're in the thick of the fight, when you're walking on the water in the storm, when you're facing down the enemies of the Lord, when you're putting on your sword, getting ready to go into battle. You know God will be there. Remember the story of Elisha and the Arameans? When they got out and they were all surrounded by the enemies of God, and Elisha prayed and said, "Oh, that he could see what I could see, that those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You see, it's only when we are surrounded, it's only when we're in the thick of the battle, when we're facing down those enemies, that we are keenly aware of the presence of God. Oh, He's always there. But the effect is that much greater, not only when we're encouraging those to put on their swords and go into battle, but to put on ours as well. Believe me, they knew. They took notice that he had been with the Lord. That contagious courage, not a courage that leads men who once were silent and shaking and statuesque in front of their enemies. Now they're ready to rush headlong into battle with him. Can people tell that we have spent time with the Lord? Are you aware? Not only do you have a contagious courage, but are you aware of your extraordinariness? Now, spell check had a field day with that word. They didn't want to let me put it in there, but just write that down, your extraordinariness. There is an essence about each one of us who are bathed in Christ, who are clothed in Christ, who have the whole armor of God adorning us. There's something about the essence of us that's absolutely extraordinary. That's not like everyone else. A scripture that I point to all the time, and it's one that we need to commit to memory, is in Philippians 3, where it says that those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, you guys are going to start quoting this with me by the time I quote it. I use it all the time. It fits everywhere. Those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, their God is their stomach, their destiny is destruction, their glory is in their shame, but our citizenship is in heaven. And he goes on, Paul goes to talk about the difference between us and them. Those of us who have been with the Lord, our citizenship, our distinction, it's different. We are extraordinary. Verses like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. You know, that's a passage that we read at funerals all the time. I mean, if there was a preacher, a Church of Christ handbook to do sermons, I guarantee that would be in there. There might be, I just don't know about it. But I have listened, and I do know that we read that at funerals all the time. Do we ever read that just normally and be encouraged about that? About our extraordinariness. That we don't have to grieve like everyone else grieves. I mean, the one thing that affects everybody, the one thing that everyone fears equally and passionately, the one thing that we all try to avoid, that we don't want to deal with, the one thing that plagues us all, the grieving of death. And he says, look, it doesn't affect us because we're extraordinary, not like everyone else. You see, when everything, and it doesn't have to be something as final as death. It could be just the difficulty in the economy. It could be the loss of a job or the disintegration of a relationship. And when those things don't wreck us, people know we've been with our Lord. Because we're extraordinary. We're not affected by those things. Because those who grieve over all of the losses of this earth, well, they don't have the hope that we have. They don't know that our life is not wrapped up in all of these circumstances, in all of the stuff and the quote-unquote blessings that I promise you will go away. You see, we have a hope and blessings that will never perish, tarnish, or fade. We have hope and blessings that are kept in heaven for us. Doesn't Peter say that in his marvelous epistle to the persecuted church in the first century? He said, you have a salvation. You have a hope that is kept in heaven for you. You see, we're not like everyone else. And they can tell that because we've been with our Lord. And see, in Hebrews chapter 12, one of my 50,000 favorite verses, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your own blood. Have you forgotten the words of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Now, I'm going to weed through all of the doctrine and theology that's in there and just say we're extraordinary because we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. I mean, there's a lot of things in there about discipline and rebuking and punishment and all those. And that's all about making us more into His likeness and shining us up to be sanctified in the glory of His Son. But don't miss and those things are a little uncomfortable, but don't miss the thrust of that passage. We're sons. We're daughters. We're not acquaintances. We're not, just people that, God knows of. I mean, it's different for us. It really is. It's comfortable. Our relationship with God is comfortable. It's welcoming. I mean, guys, it's extraordinary. And we are people who, when we are down, when things are going wrong, people can tell, when everything is going wrong, there's something about those people. It's because they've been with their Lord. It's because that they know. There's just a comfort in being home, isn't there? I mean, there really is. I mean, I'm welcomed into every one of y'all's homes, and I love that. Anytime I, come over or invited, it's just, just me. When y'all come over, it's the same thing, but when I go over to my dad's house, it's just different. I don't ask before I get in the refrigerator. I don't ask before I get in the refrigerator at Connie's either, but that's different. But when you're home, when you're with your dad, when you're with your family, isn't it just different than when you're over at a friend's house or when you're over at your grandma's? I mean, when you're at your home, you're just, nothing's off limits. You see, we are extraordinary because we know, unlike the unchurched people that go through this life without the hope that we have, without the relationship, and this is what should draw them, is that we know that with our God, there's nothing off limits. Isn't that an extraordinary experience? I mean, there's no question that we can't ask. I mean, there's, with my kids, there's no question that they feel like they can't ask me. I mean, what's the one taboo that nobody talks, nobody discusses how much money they make? I would never go, hey, how much money, My kid, Dad, how much money do you make? There's nothing off limits to them. There's nothing. They don't think about the barriers. What an extraordinary experience we have. It should change us. Last question I want to ask. For the last answer, can people tell that we have spent time with our Lord? The facts speak for themselves. Go back to Acts chapter 4. If you've still got your Bible, see the You know what was going on in the Sanhedrin? There was a guy that was like 40 years old, and he'd been lame his whole life, and he was healed. He was healed by the apostles of Christ. And so they were questioning him on all of the ins and outs, all of the issues that have to go with and then they said they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished. They took note that these men had been with Jesus, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So the question is, what's standing in front of people? What are the effects of our lives that's standing in front of people? Do we leave, when we leave the room, do we leave a wake of healing or of hurt? You know, like they were talking about Jesus in Hebrews, yet for the joy set before Him, He endured the life of the cross. When we leave the room, do we leave a wake of joy? Or do we support the bitterness that's there among people who have no hope? Do we bring into the room a sense of triumph over the circumstances? Triumph over the economy? Do we bring a sense of triumph over all of the diseases that plague our humanity? Or do we buy into the tragedy that is a life unsustainable as we know it? You know, we might not know of a cure for all the diseases, but we know of a cure for death. Is that standing before people? Because you see, when healing is standing there, there's nothing they can say. So the question then, can people tell that we have spent time with our Lord? When we leave here today, I mean, this is a beautiful, bright, sunny day, and it is an amazing time to be alive and to know the Lord and to be just basking in His love. Now, each one of us in here, we've got a laundry list of issues that are worrying us. We've got problems. We've got confusions and doubts. And man, there's things, and we don't know where this is going. If this is going to happen the way we want to, and this relate, you know, we all have circumstances that are beyond our control. But we know. We have a relationship with someone who controls all of that. And can it be said that if I'm well, you can tell that I have been with Him now? I love that. I want that to be the mantra for my life. Is, you know what? I want to remember that. When I am well, when I am happy and content, when I am rising above the circumstances and all of that, you can tell I've been with Him now. And when I'm not that way, when I'm down, or when I'm buying into the tragedy or the bitterness, when I'm buying into the anger or the anxiety, the worry, when I'm buying into all that, I can know, you know what, Shane? The problem is you haven't been with Him as much. You haven't been in His presence. There's something in the way He moves, and it does change everything. It makes us different than everyone else. The question this morning, can people tell that we've been with our Lord? This morning you have an opportunity. You know, there are characteristics of life that go with being a saved, bought child of the King. Characteristics like contentment, characteristics like joy, characteristics like courage, extraordinariness. And there are a number of people in this room that have experienced that experience that on a daily basis. They've confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've been buried with Him in baptism. They know that their sin, the separation between them and God, has been dealt with for eternity by God. They know that. They go to sleep every night knowing my last breath happens, my next conscious thought will be the presence of God. If you want that this morning, If you want to have a contagious courage, an extraordinariness, if you want the facts of your life to speak for themselves, you too can confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can be baptized in His death, burial, and resurrection to live eternally with Him. And people will know that you've been with your Lord. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.